Let's take a look at the real estate and leverage worksheet. We reference it in the presentation on real estate and real estate investment trusts. And these are two questions I took from the previous financial planning and money management book, which was written around 2003 and 4, as the real estate bubble was inflating. They labeled them 1 and 2, so I labeled them 1 and 2. The third problem is a problem I made up on my own. It was conveniently left out of the textbook, and I numbered it number 666 as a joke, but hey, if you don't like the joke, please, my apologies. Because this is what was going on during the bubble. Number one, calculating the return on investment without using financial leverage. Dave, you know, good old Dave, right, bought a rental property for $200,000 cash. Now, wait a minute. Do people buy properties for cash? I mean, some people do, yes, but no. Yes, in the real estate world, we use leverage. We borrow quite a bit. But let's assume he had the $200,000 lying around the house. So he bought a rental property for $200,000 cash, and 1 year later sold it for $240,000. Now, what was the return on his $200,000 investment? Well, we calculate it just as we would calculate any return on any investment. We take the purchase price, what it was sold for, minus what we bought it, in this case, $240,000 minus $200,000, and that turns out to be a $40,000 absolute gain. Well, how do we calculate our percentage gain? We divide that absolute gain divided by the amount that we invested, as some people say, what we brought to the table. And that's $40,000 divided by $200,000, or 20%. Wow, not a bad year's investment, right? Return. And that's what was going on when the housing bubble was inflating. The houses were returning 20-30% a year. Yikes. Quick, run on down. Get yours now. Well, but most people don't put $200,000 down. They don't buy the whole thing in cash. They put a certain percentage down and borrow the rest. That's financial leverage. So number two is calculating the return on investment using financial leverage. Suppose Dave invested only $20,000 of his own money and borrowed $180,000. That's 90% financing, folks. Can you do that anymore on a rental property? No, no, no. The lenders now want at least 25% down. It's a little late, don't you think, folks? They should have been doing this when the music was playing. They waited until afterwards, and now it's harder to buy these investment properties when they really should be making it easier to buy these investment properties because they've already fallen 50%. But anyway, that's the world. So at the time, you could run down to your lender, put down 20,000 on a $200,000 home, that's 10% down, rent it out, you borrow $180,000. Now what happens if it goes up 20% again from $200,000 to $240,000? Well, you still have an absolute gain of $40,000, but wait a minute, you only brought to the table $20,000. You only invested $20,000, so you made a $40,000 gain on $20,000 of investment. That's 200%. Do you see why it was such a heady time and everybody was, yippee, we're all going to be rich, 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 until the music stops in 2007 and 2008 and the real estate falls and falls and falls. So now let's do problem number 666. Ha ha ha. If you don't think it's a joke, I have my apologies. Oh, by the way, where did the number come from? It comes from Revelations, and the guy who wrote Revelations is the same guy who wrote John, the Gospel of John, and he was predicting, according to some, you know, you got to be careful when you try to interpret Revelations, according to most scholarly works, let's say, 666 was the number of the beast. The beast happened to be Rome, and that was how long that Rome was going to live, was going to survive the civilization another 666 days, or approximately 2 years, and he was only 300 years off. Anyway, calculating the return on investment using financial leverage, and things do not go as planned. Suppose Dave invested only $20,000 of his own money, again, 10% financing, borrowed $180,000, 90% financing. Did I say 10% down? Financing 10% down, 90% financed. He borrowed $180,000, and the property value went down 20%. And we saw in chapters, we saw how prices fall. Well, we didn't see that. This is the wrong class. I'm sorry. Prices fell like a stone in 2008 and 2009, 50% in some places, more, 20% in others. So let's say it fell 20%. Now the question is, what's he going to tell his wife? Honey, we have a problem. Why? Because his investment is underwater. He owes more than it's worth. He owes $180,000 on it, but it's lost 20%, which means it's gone down $40,000. He could only find a reputable buyer who will pay $160,000 for it. So he's lost all his $20,000 investment, and now he still owes another $20,000 more than what it's worth. You see, this is what people were asking me during the 2008-2009. They were saying, you know, aren't you upset because, you know, your stocks have lost 40-50%? I said, well, I'm not happy about it. No, of course not. But I really feel badly for the real estate investors who've lost everything. And then some. They still owe more. And folks, this is, you know, this is an academic exercise, but it really isn't, because there are hundreds of thousands of people in this and households in this predicament, that they owe more than what the property is worth. Can they get it refinanced? No. Can they sell it? That's called a short sale. It means the bank or the credit union or the mortgage company is going to allow you to sell it for less than it's worth. That means they're going to forgive you the, in this case, $20,000 more that he owes. Your credit's going to be ruined. What do some people do? They just walk away, or they wait. And that's what they're doing right now. They're sitting. They haven't made their payments. If they run into trouble or whatever, lose their job, they just stop making their payments and wait for the bank to get around to foreclosing. Some people can still make their payments, and they're wondering, should I really continue to make the payment? I bought the house for $400,000. I could sell it now for $200,000. It probably will not hit $400,000 for another 10, 20 years or so. Who knows? What should I do? And they're wondering what to do. So this is an academic exercise, yes, but more than that, it's people's lives right now. So it's a tragedy. And we're working our way through it. So, any questions, comments, criticisms, suggestions, please contact me. I hope this has been an illuminating experience. But what I should finally say is that there are opportunities out there, folks, for real estate investors right now. If you've got the down payment, 25%, which means Dave would have to come up with $50,000 on a $200,000 investment. If your credit is good, if you know how to fix a toilet and a tenant, get out there, because we need to get these places rented. We need to get these places fixed up. An empty house gets vandalized, and that's not good for our society. See ya!